Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was here.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Well, praise the Lord, and we're back again with you on another Blog Talk Radio broadcast, and I am your host, J.O. Robinson, Jerry Robinson, that is, and I'm so glad to be back with you, and I'm excited about the Word of the Living God, and I bring greetings to you from our ministry, His Report International, and all of the people that helped me to make this program what it is. We came to tell you today that the good news is that the bad news is wrong. We want to say that we want to give a shout out to all of our friends and people who listen to us on live and all of those who listen to us in the archives. We want to say that we thank God as a show of our appreciation for all of the things that He is doing in and through us. And especially if these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, we'd like to hear from you. You can contact us at 101 Green C, Suite C, number 17. You can call us, you can mail us there. 101 Greenwood Avenue, Suite C, number 17, Allen, Texas, 75002, His Report International. If you'd like to give us a correspondence and tell us how these programs have been a blessing to you, you may do so by the method. Also, in the days to come, we will be able to alert you with our great email address. We've just revamped the program in the ministry, and we're working on making sure that all of our contact information is available unto you. Amen. Now, I want to just get started today. We've talked and we've been talking about the committed life. And last week, on Monday, we talked about, and it was last week now because this is a new week starting Sunday. But last week, we talked about from the particular passage of Scripture, John chapter 15, verse 1 through 13, and we were talking about Jesus saying that I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Today we're going to use these scriptures and we're going to talk about from this passage of Scripture as well that these are the theme scriptures and the foundational scriptures that we're giving you today from this passage of Scripture in Psalms 37. And we're going to start with verse 3 and we're going to go to verse 7. And some of the other scriptures that we will be using is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, and Romans chapter 12. All right, here we go. Psalms 37, 3, and it says this. And I really want you to hear what the psalmist is saying. He's really reaching out to the people of his day as he's beginning to share this particular passage. he started off by saying, in the first verse, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. He says in verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, this is where he comes in. He says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, he says. And do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, he says in the third verse, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, you know, we talked on the podcast past, we were talking about every good thing that's in us. We were acknowledging every good thing in our confession of faith. Acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. Here the psalmist says, delight thyself also in the Lord, he says, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But he also says before that, trust in him and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's very important for you and me today, for us to not only trust in the Lord, he says, but, and do good. Do good. That means that we need to treat everybody right. We need to do all the things that are necessary to make sure that everybody that we come in contact with, on whatever basis we come in contact with them, that we do good. That means when we are seen and when we are not seen, when we are heard and when we are not heard, that means to do good at all times. And that brings our trust and takes our trust to another level. He says, and he goes on to say in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. First of all, he says, delight thyself. After you've done good, and after you're dwelling in the land, and the land he's talking about here is the land, praise God, that you live in presently. This land is my land, this land is your land. That's the old cliche, and that's a song. But the land that we're living in, the United States of America, wherever you may live, here in Allen, Texas, and whatever city you may live in, whatever state you may live in, that's your land. That's the place where you do good. And as you dwell in that land, God says, I will not only, as you do good, help you in that land. He says, but verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, I will make sure that you will not go hungry, that you will not go without in that land. So wherever land you're in, when you do good and you trust in the Lord, you will not be hungry and you will not go without. He says, and delight thyself in the Lord. In other words, make him your delight. Make him your delight. If you will delight yourself in him and make him your delight, then he says, listen to what he says, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, let's talk about that for a few minutes. If you delight yourself in the Lord, in other words, delight thyself in the Lord, and if that means that you are delighting yourself, that means he's delighting himself in you, because you're delighting yourself in him. It's not going to be just one-sided, you know. He's not going to just let you delight yourself in him, and he's not going to delight himself in you. That just wouldn't work. That's not communications, and that's not fellowship and companionship, is it? No, of course not. So what the Lord is saying is, if you will delight yourself in him, he'll delight himself in you. And watch what he'll do. He says, and he will give you the desires of your heart, of thine heart. Well, who gave you the desire in the first place? It was the Lord, because you delighted yourself in him. He delighted himself in you. And so he gave you a desire according to him. Does that make sense? Are you listening to me clearly today? The desire that you have to do good, because you've done good in the land, didn't come from you. It came from the Lord. The Lord is the only one that gives us the desire to do good. Definitely not the enemy, as we call him, Satan or the devil. He is not going to give you a good desire to do good. No, by no means at all. He's not going to give you any good desires. He's not going to let you. He doesn't desire for you to do good. So all of that comes. James said it like this. He said, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, and whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So that means that God wants you and I to do good because it comes down from him. It comes down from above. All right, so the psalmist here is, we're talking about a committed life here. So here we go. He says, commit thy ways. He says, your works unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. In verse 5, and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In other words, when you give over to the way of the Lord, that's what the word commit means. And we talked about it in the last podcast on Monday. We talked about the word commit, which means to give over, to be subject to be fully persuaded by, to believe in, or to have confidence in. In other words, you and I have been subject or become subject to the way of the Lord. And his way is Yahweh. Well, I thought I'd throw that in there maybe just for cliche's sake, but Yahweh is the way. His way is the way. And Jesus went on to say in the New Testament, I am the way, I am the way, I am Yahweh, the way, I am the truth and the life. So that means that he said, when you submit your way to his way, he said, when you submit to my way, he said, my way, and bring forth, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, thy way. When you commit your way and it becomes his way, then he says, trust in him and he shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? He will bring the desire that he put in your heart to pass because you have committed yourself totally to him. So now here we go. He says in verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 5, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In other words, he's saying, oh yeah, you've got some people that are going to, they're going to try to counteract you and try to make you think, well, you know what, it's nothing to that God thing you're doing. I can do that myself. You know, I can do just like you can, and I can do it better. Well, that's what the enemy said when the days of Pharaoh, when Moses was standing there, and the Bible says that he says, what would make me want to believe you, Moses, that God is God? And so Moses throws down his rod, and it turns into a serpent. And the Pharaoh says, you know what, we can do that. We can do that too. So he calls his sorcerers together, and they throw down their rods, and the sorcerer, their rods become serpents. The only difference between the show was that Moses' serpent ate up the serpents of Pharaoh. They let them know that his serpent was more powerful and all-powerful than the serpents that were opposing. So I want to tell you today that it doesn't matter what happens outside of you, or people prospering around you, and they're doing it the wrong way, doing it for evil and not for good. I want you to know that their devices will not continue to work. Because God says, you know what, don't fret about their devices. Don't fret because they have seemingly more than you have. They've done more than seemingly you have. But he says, because their devices were only for the evil and not for the good. And they shall soon, as one passage of scripture said, be cut down. So don't be in a uproar. Don't be fretful. Don't be afraid for what you see around you. It is only there for a short time. But your blessing, the thing that God wants to bring to pass in you, is for eternity. It's eternal. Amen. And I thought I'd just say that because some of us may be fretting about what's going on around us and seeing other people prospering and saying, well, why are they prospering and I'm not? Or why are they doing this and I'm not? Because my trust is in the Lord and they're being blessed and I'm not. Their trust is, we know that they're devil raisers, hell raisers and devil chasers, and they do all the things that the devil tells them to do, and they seem like they're doing good. Notice you said they seem like they're doing good. They're not. It's a trap. It's all set up for them to lose their soul, believe me. Now, I just want to say those things, and I know that sometimes, you know, people get hung up in, let me say this today. You know, we've given people the wrong image about commitment. We've given them the wrong image about the kingdom of God. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, and we'll elaborate on that just a little bit more, because I believe in this day and time that you and I are living in, the concept that people have about of the kingdom has been taken all out of sorts It's been taken all out of proportion. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Listen to what it says. As you turn there with me, and those of you who have your Bible, now listen to what he says, and listen to how he says it. He says, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. In other words, when you commit your way to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. In one verse, a passage of scripture, the psalmist says, they sit down to eat with you, but when they sit down to eat with you, their heart is far from you. So you know what? Your thoughts, your heart, their thoughts are coming out and then he goes on to say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your thought, as I've said oftentimes, and many people have heard me say this, and I'm going to say it this day on the podcast, your thoughts have supernatural power. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're a liar, you're going to be a liar. If you think you're poor, you're going to be poor. If you think you are in poverty, you're going to be in poverty. If you think that you can't make it, you won't make it. If you think those things, you can say one thing out of your mouth, but if you're thinking another thing in your heart, then you're going to be what you think. Your thoughts are what make you who you are, not what you. And your words come out of your thoughts. Eventually, your words are going to mimic the thought patterns that you have. You can say what you want to. You can believe it like you want to. You can say, well, you know, I'm really for this. But one day, somewhere, if it's really in your heart to think different, it is going to come out of your mouth. And at the end of the day, your mouth and my mouth make for us what life is. Death and life, the proverbial writer says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So he says in the third verse of Proverbs chapter 16, he says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's very important. That means, you mean to tell me that God will establish whatever I'm doing through my thoughts? Of course he will. Yes, he will. He says, your works will be established by the way you think. And it'll be established through your thoughts. Some of you today, praise God, friend, you're in ministry, and you don't feel like your ministry is going as well as you think it should. Can I tell you something? If you will commit that work to the Lord, that work that you have, that has been given to you by the Lord, he will not only work on that for you on your behalf, he will step up and perform that through his word. He will give you the thoughts to think and establish them for you. In other words, he will put them on a solid foundation. He will put your ministry, your work, or whatever you're doing, whatever the case may be. Today I just said ministry. He will put that on a solid foundation. He will establish it. And when God establishes something by his words, by what you have committed to him, and he will make sure that it will stand forever. It cannot be moved. It will not fall. It will stand. It will be there forever. Now listen, let's turn to the New Testament and let's talk about what God is talking about in terms of, the Lord is talking about in terms of commitment. Let's turn to Second Peter. Let's read chapter 2. Excuse me, First Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Now you've heard me minister this particular passage of scripture on the podcast before, but I'm coming to you in a different light today about this particular passage, because now we're going to hear what Jesus had to say concerning this particular passage of scripture when he ministers to you and me about his own commitment and what his commitment was to the body of Christ and the world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter pins it in this light. And you and I read it, and I'm reading it from the King James Version. Listen to what he says. He says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not. Now, if we really want to get the full understanding, let's start at verse 21, and we will move into verse 23, so you have an understanding of where he started from. He says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, and here is the example that he left, that ye should follow his steps. What were his steps? Who did no sin, that's number one, that was number one step. Neither was guile found in his mouth, that was number two. And number three, who, when he was reviled, reviled not. He didn't get upset and mad and angry and fight. He didn't fight back. And when he suffered, he threatened not. In other words, you know, you got some people beating on you and doing all kinds of cruel things to you. And you're saying, you know what, if I ever get free from this, I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da to you. I'm going to get you back. You just wait. Just hold on. He didn't threaten him back. Praise God. But committed. Now, here we go. He subjected himself to him that judgeth rightly. In other words, he had submitted to the Lord. He says, Lord, I'm going to do everything, all of the above, so that I can finish my assignment, my mission here in the earth. He says, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to have guile be found in my mouth. He says, I'm not going to revile. And he says, I'm not going to, when I'm suffering, I'm not going to threaten somebody else back because they are persecuting me or harming me. And though he goes on to say, who committed to that himself, who judged righteously, he says, he goes on to say in verse 24, who his own, watch what he says now, his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Isn't that amazing? That because he held fast to his commitment, by his stripes, by his very by the very mere fact that he endured all of the things that he said he would do above, even to the point of being harmed in his body, we were healed by his obedience. We were healed by his commitment. We were healed by him being subject to what God told him to do. Isn't that amazing, friend? And the same power that was in him now has been transferred to you and has been transferred to me. Now, we're talking about the committed life. We're talking about a life that's subject to the ways of God. We're talking about a life that's subject to the Word of God. We're talking about a life that's been given over totally to the Lord. There's no question about it. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. This life that I'm talking about, that you and I are talking about. And I told you that life that I was talking about was a life subject to the God type of life, the Zoe. Not a regular existing life, not the life that we know it as, what we call living in this world as of such. But I'm talking about a transformed life that has moved out of, let me say it this way, out of the darkness of life into the light of life. There is a difference. This life that I'm talking about is the life of Zoe. The life that, and that's the Greek word for this life that I'm talking about. It is defined as the God type of life. And when I say the God, I'm talking about Yahweh. When I say the God, I'm talking about Yeshua, his son, Jesus. I am not talking about other gods. I'm not talking about Gautama. I'm not talking about Hare Krishna. I'm not talking about Buddha. I'm not talking about Muhammad. I'm not talking about those type of gods. I'm talking about the God, the one true God. And that is Yahweh in the person of and through Jesus Christ, Yeshua, his son. So I want to be very clear with that. I don't want you to think that I'm talking about a God. I'm talking about the one and true God. And he is called Yahweh, and his son whom represented him in the earth is called Yeshua. So that's the God that I'm referring to today. Listen, we're talking about the committed life, the giving over, the subject to, the totally committed, the totally subject to God type of life. That's what I mean when I say totally committed. The total submittance, the total giving over to God himself, the God way of living. And there's only one way you can do that, and that is you have to live by his words. His words. Man, now listen, Here's another passage of scripture that we want to go into today. We're going to talk about it in Romans chapter 12. Now, when I was talking to you from Hebrews chapter 4, let's go there first. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And I want you to really hear me today, because earlier in ministry today, while I was ministering, I got stuck right there in Hebrews chapter 4. Because in Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer is beginning to expound on the rest of the Lord. He's beginning to share with the Hebrew people about what happened to the children of Israel and the reason why they were not being blessed as they should in the Old Testament. He starts out by saying, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us entering into his rest." Now let's define rest today. That word rest right there means keeping. And you know, one of the greatest fears of people today is that if I become a Christian, can I be kept? If I become a believer, can God really do what he said he's going to do for me? Can he really keep me in all of this that he's required of me? And I want, the answer is, friend, yes. He can do that and more. The Bible says he can do that, and he can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask, dare hope. He can do exceeding abundantly above all you ask, hope, dream, or desire in every area of your life. Yes, he can keep you. He is a keeper. So the Hebrew writer here says, listen, he says in verse 1, therefore, let us fear. In other words, let us reverence the fact that lest a promise being left us for entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know, the children of Israel came short of it because they would not believe that God could keep them. They left out of Egypt. And let me tell you something, friend. They didn't leave out of Egypt poor. They left out with all the gold and the silver. They left out. They were compensated for their hard work and the task that was laid upon them through 400 years of captivity, and they left out of Egypt rich. But where were they going to spend the money? They were out there in the wilderness. They had no malls. They had no stores. They had none of that. None of those things out there. So they were rich with no place to spend their money. Praise God. And so because they had no place of commerce and nothing to do in terms of exchange, they were out there still trusting God. Isn't that something? You can be rich and still got to trust God. Well, that's what his whole thing was. He was telling them, that money that you have in your pocket is not your source. I am your source. Trust in me. Your riches are not going to give you what I can do for you. And so there they were out there with all that money and nowhere to spend it. Isn't that amazing? So he says, I'm telling you that I'm your source. I'm taking you from one place to another. I'm taking you to a place where you can spend all your money. I'm taking you to a place where you can make sure that your commerce is there is an exchange. And so he tells them that they did not really understand it. They came short of it. And verse 2 says, why? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. In other words, they were receiving it from Moses. But the word preached did not profit them. Why did it not profit them? Because it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. My time is up. You know what? But you just tune me back in next week. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about mixing with faith. But as for the moment, those of you who heard my voice today, may the Lord bless you richly. Is my prayer, and all the things that I share with you, all the things that I'm sharing with you, make sure that you have an understanding as we move into the next podcast. Next podcast, what God is saying and what he wants to do in your life. Tune us in. Be ready. Come back and meet us again on tomorrow as we will share with you why they did not mix it with faith. In the meantime, God bless you. And may his riches and best be yours. Father, may the word that I ministered today fall on good ground, and that it will produce 30, 60, and 100 folks in the lives of those years. In Jesus' name, amen.